Welcome back, 4:48, 7:30 a.m., 102.9 FM, WTNT. Andy Parks, live from the Washington Times. And on this Wednesday afternoon, I'm joined by Luke Rosiak, Washington Times investigative reporter. And this caught my eye this morning when I picked up my copy of the Washington Times. Who are the best and worst bosses on Capitol Hill? This had to be fun to put together, huh, Luke?
It was fun.
I mean, admit it.
It is frightening that some of these people are basically running our country.
Yeah, you know, and this deals with, I guess not all of our lawmakers have a stellar reputation when it comes to being bosses. And among Hill workers, I think what I gather from your column, from your article today, is that there's some concern.
Right. What I did is take 10 years of congressional pay records and to determine how frequently staff were leaving. And some offices routinely, 50% of their turnover would, 50% of their staff would leave on any given year. And people come to the Hill to work for short times. They're not making much money, and oftentimes they're young.
Yeah.
You see a lot of turnover everywhere, but that was the baseline. And what immediately jumped out was these people who just cannot keep anyone working for them for more than a year. And when I looked into what these numbers were saying, nearly every single time, these were just insane dynamics going on in these offices. Just, it was astonishing the way that some of these members of Congress treat the human beings who work for them, and that's why they quit or are mm-hmm. fired in a fit of rage by some of these members.
Yeah. All right, well, let's start with the worst. Is there one in particular? Are there many that fit into that category?
There were 27 members of Congress who averaged over one-third of their staff leaving every year over a period of many years. The worst person by far, and possibly the worst person ever born, was Sheila Jackson Lee.
Texas Democrat, right?
Texas Democrat.
Yeah.
You know, she. There are stories of staffers' parents coming to visit, and she curses the staffer out in front of their parents, throwing cell phones at their head, forcing drivers to wait 7 hours to pick her up, demanding a limo take her one block every morning to from her home to her office building.
Unbelievable.
Uncontained fits of rage, and it shows. She cannot.
Is she the one that referred to herself as a queen?
She said, "I'm a queen, and I demand to be treated as one."
That's unbelievable.
She demanded, she walked on into the White House without stopping for the Secret Service, and she
yeah.
said she didn't have to listen to the Secret Service guard because he was white.
That's beautiful. Yeah. Boy, that's a class act there. That really is. So she gets the award. She gets the gold
right.
star.
Right. Over a full 10 years, 54% average annual turnovers. This is not a blip. This has been going on for a decade. And she comes from a gerrymandered district. That's why she's still in office.
Yeah.
It's a, you know, compact urban district. And a lot of these voters apparently, haven't really, well, a lot of people don't know about their representative
yeah.
and what they're really like, but apparently these voters either don't know enough about her to make a decision
yeah.
or they don't care.
Did you talk to her by any chance?
I didn't talk to her. She does not want to talk about this.
Oh, question. I can't imagine why. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, she's capable of all kinds of crazy stuff. Like, Ann, I got to ask you, do I ever throw stuff? No, I don't. Have I threatened you? Always? Yeah. Do I demand to be treated as royalty? Oh, well, hang on a second. Let's see.
I just want to point out that you don't do any of those things, but you do fire me once or twice a week.
Yeah, but
so
I always hire
that.
You back. Yeah, I always hire
yeah.
you back. Right? You know, within like 5 minutes, it's like, okay, you're not fired. You know, I've been doing that for years. How many times have I fired you?
Oh, 100,
yeah,
120.
I would guess.
But the minute you say that you're a queen and demand to be treated like one, we're
yeah.
going to have to talk.
Yeah, that's right. And I'm a queen, and I demand to be treated like one.
But she's been with you for many years. And if you really did treat
yeah.
her poorly, she
yeah.
would have left you long ago.
That's
Andy.
True.
So
that's
these
true.
Turnover metrics, when you look at the numbers, they typically indicate serious problems.
Yeah. All right. So was the problem... For the worst, anyway, were there more in the Democrat column or more in the Republican column?
18 of the top 27 were Democrats, but
okay.
this is a problem of personality. Not really. It doesn't really
yeah.
break down along party lines. For whatever reason, 6 out of the 27 were black women. So I think gerrymandering may be a part of that.
Yeah, yeah. Defense Department nominee Chuck Hagel was on the list. Why was he there?
He's number two in the Senate. Only George Allen from Virginia had worse turnover.
Really? George Allen?
Yeah. And there could be a variety of explanations for high turnover, but generally what I've seen was personality conflicts. It's not always the member of Congress who's the problem. In some cases, it was the chief of staff.
I gotcha. Yeah.
So you
can't blame it all on the candidate then?
Not necessarily. It's on a case-by-case basis. There's no way to know for sure. A lot of staffers don't want to talk about their former bosses for understandable reasons.
Yeah.
But it is something to really be concerned about because nearly every time that I checked into what these numbers were showing, the numbers were really vindicated by what I heard from staffers.
Huh. And next time I talk to George Allen, I'm going to ask him about this. This is surprising, you know? All right, we talked about the worst. What about the best?
Jim McGovern, a Massachusetts Democrat, was a former staffer himself, and I talked to him, and I really liked what he had to say. He said, you know, the thing about the Capitol is they're all working in one building, it's one institution, but inside the individual offices, they're very much defined by the member itself. So you can, you can be right next to another member, and these offices have wildly different environments and atmospheres internally. And his style was very laid back. He has people call him Jim, low level, even interns just call him, hey, Jim.
Yeah.
I rely on my staffers because no one member can do all this work.
Right.
They're flooded by requests and legislation.
Man, that's the right attitude to have, you know?
Right, because no one can do it alone. The other thing to keep in mind is that when you're cycling through these staffers because you're treating them poorly, you're replacing them with people with no experience. And how can you get things done when you're relying on a 22-year-old who, you know, has never had a job before? You need to retain people because they build institutional expertise.
Yeah. Hey, how far back can you go? Because, Ann, I was just thinking, you know, we need to check into Fred Grandy, see how he was with his staff, you know? I don't know if we go back that far.
We go back to 2001.
Ah, darn it. I needed you to kind of be able to go back into the late 80s to the mid-90s. Man, oh, man, I was hoping to get some info on
Grandy. I'm sure there's some stories in the Capitol. I mean, they put on that one. They're politicians, you know. At the campaign event, they're one way. But behind closed doors, people who work for them, it's another story.
They're a different animal, that's for sure. All right. You didn't have anybody who went from, like, one bad boss to somebody even worse, did you?
Well, this gets to sort of the gerrymandered district, sort of the compact urban district. There was a lady, Juanita Milliner McDonald, who was by all accounts a maniac. She fired a staffer for leaving a box of candy on her chair. She seems like a terrible person, and I say that even though she died of cancer.
Oh my God.
But when she died, another woman replaced her who was not any better, Laura Richardson. And she was convicted. The House Ethics Committee found her responsible of misusing her staff, demanding that they get her dry cleaning and forcing them to do campaign work and things like that. And a lot of these staffers, when Milliner McDonald died, a lot of them kept their jobs. And, you know, sure enough, the next person to take the reins was probably even worse. Luckily, probably for everyone, Laura Richardson was voted out of office in November.
Yeah. You know, there's another name I saw in your story, and it was outgoing Labor Secretary Hilda Solis. And she, what was her reputation? Was it good or bad?
You know, I didn't hear anything from staffers. I mean, I ran these numbers for all members, and obviously I wasn't able to talk to staffers for all of them. But like I said, these numbers, time and time again, they did tend to indicate personality problems, either with a member or a staff. Because she was labor secretary, that raises other interesting concerns because, of course, she's in charge of workplaces and cultivating, a good environment for all American workers. And it looks like, for whatever reason, her own workers, when she was in the House, didn't seem too happy.
Yeah. It's a very interesting story. Folks, if you get a chance, check it out. It is front page of the Washington Times today. Who are the best and worst bosses on Capitol Hill? It's by Luke Rosiak, Washington Times investigative reporter. Luke, thanks as always for joining me. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Andy.
It is 4:57, 7:30 a.m., 102.9 FM, WTNT. Andy Parks live from the Washington Times.